Geronimo's Cadillac. 1. Take me back, Geronimo's Cadillac. Lovely the roads that meander or unfold like cold milk from blue pitchers. Sing the houses, my heart, within the flat world, perhaps the most mysterious in the way they come up and entrust themselves to me. Willingly, each house seems to dart ahead and to be waiting for me, gazing shyly from out its green bordered windows, saying, "Howdy do. How are you getting on? I'm fine myself. I remember you, little fella. You've been away. And you know what? A brain dog's been in my rooms. Forced into a corner, it gave off a terrible odor. Or, you know, I almost burned down last night because of the overheated oven in which they live." How gaily I pass, chattering to my shadow wife. For though I've found no one, there's a marriage rite in the successive alluvial deposits of my life. Fake child, you played the child for grown-ups, longing each moment to join them. Fake grown-up now, draw a bit nearer to what never was. Immense shade of thousands of tiny carved leaves, how should one not increase in infinite gratitude when look, at last, far and near, are wooer and wooed. Two. Find a name for care. Ruth O'Lair is her name. The little womb-born creatures call her to their games. She comes when father's at work far away. Red River, she called, and we came, bringing with us our past, our future, and cirrhosis of the river. Still, Ruth is laughing now, back to the glare of all those piercing stares, faithful to the earthly. With girlish hands, she fixes my favorite dish. Delicious smoked venison, corn smelling of rain, platters heaped with a bread called early pain. She holds my hand while I eat them once again. You marvel over the size of her fruit, pitted like a chin by greedy swallows, frost-bitten by forsaking, but still sweet in the ripening of those calm summers. Nothing, Ruth, can really destroy you. Quarrels, showing off, darkness, the muddle, wounded knees and walling up within, until one day the game ensues, but this time two small boys leap on him, pull off his perma-stilts, and all his touch and nice soft down and throat. Three. What a tremendous world is in my head. Lay in bed listening to the howling of wolves from the hovels at nightfall up in the hills. Were they baptized too, Mama? Yes, darling. I saw the wolf boys with hairy snouts peering out from their christening gowns in my dreams. Saw the host slip between their white fangs. Their bright eyes peered through the stove slits, and when I woke in winter, I could hear them trot to and fro. The world lies deep in snow. They sound so lonely. They're little boys like you. I saw them in the moon's flow, and I knew I trotted with them across icy streams, heard my deep howl returned. Across the shiftless sands we ran, shivering in the intergalactic glow. Juggernaut space, too vast for the astronaut, slings out its natural slouch in the orange of the moon, nor can our feet crush its wild sage. It rises again like a cartwheel on bareback. The broad brim, no stranger, seems to enclose us in a peaceful slope round a mountain of sleep. But when I woke up, I was a prig again, and swore to be a missionary to the wolves one day. And now I trot to and fro. The world lies deep in snow. Four. I'm creeping in the shade from one tree to another. I'm on the way. You're calling me, pointing out the dangers, aghast at my faltering step. You ran home on my account, out of breath? You soothed away the scoldings. You were faithful. I'd like to be your pupil and make mistakes. You'd laugh. Home. There's a letter one doesn't open. It bears a message already known by heart. You take it along, pull it out of your pocket now and then, lay it on the table, then put it back in your pocket again. See, everything lies on the surface here. Even if he took up the greater part of the bed, it did not in the least interfere with her sleep. She had no space, really. Forced to the edge, she'd lie quiet, awake. When I heard them moving slowly through the hall above, on the same infant's journey toward the Jakes, I felt a great wave of pity roll over my gall. Half asleep, no longer aware they were parents, no longer figures in the world at all, wandering over reflected hillsides, houses, and men's faces. Seven. Dreadful to start out in darkness before dawn, through Decemberish hell winds, holding a warm hand to serve in a sanctuary in the heart of a rock. All that is pompous and pitiful in being a boy pope is embodied for me in his enormous cassock, his oversized surplice, his oversized joy, far too big for a boy. The altar's cold. He looks out to the pews. Fruits in morning dew. Sweet, delicious apple, plum and banana, gooseberry eyes. The basket's his mother's mantilla. Her cheeks are the chalice he raises up to the altar. For the mass is a caesura, traversable only when Mamama is watching. Old ladies in fox furs, the nuns and Mamama, guard his way as he moves up the aisle of the mothers. It was the Chateau Marveille of St. Garwan, the realm of the mothers, seen only at sunrise, the land of no return. Natural women and brujos speak of it in code. In rattling off Latin I could hear underneath, confide in me, dear you, omnipotent and a boat for Maria. I never noticed my mother in those days. No more than beauty, I was too much a part of her. Isle of pines, sighing. Patience, patience, patience. Ten. My clothes look stiff as boards or hung in rumples. I let my rather sad mug govern my carriage, walked about with shoulders crooked, body bent, my arms and hands like chops of meat. I like the windows of trains, though, at night. There, inescapable homeliness, could not find a seat. Reciting clothes, worn longer and longer. Even at the dinner table, tight, reciting clothes. Even in my mother's arms, locks all over my body. With clothes, there were always a thousand questions. Want to wear that forever? But why don't you like these? Epileptic fits were required to change myself into them. Such a dinner jacket I wanted, the tailor never heard of. It's hard, you know, to find a waistcoat to fit over my skin, naked as fur, yearning for a statue's robe. Myself measured and fitted in a kind of court-martial, for the new clothes that demanded a soul with silk facings. The tailor wasn't capable of grasping my meaning. First time running naked in moonlight, you know why Wolf clings to his origins still and looks backward always and will not let go. Each day took small steps toward the contracted. School-bound life in iron hoops, figure eights, multiplied, divided, subtracted, while one's legs far away would call, "Don't forget me," Bill the Lizard style. The hands felt like fountain pens, and you'd have to kiss the gentle, lapping hairs again and again on one's left at home now, arms, strangely growing and caring for themselves. Rub one's nose through them at recess to get beneath to the pink, baby, intimate skin, recalling how it felt there, all cooey and quiet, serving to restore a daisy meadow heavy with sleep. Yet how little of that school-strutting hugeness can be converted back to small by long looking and little bags from home. See, terror of end-of-term essays, the fear of falling to some lower form of life, tentacles, polyps, organs of love. Wearing out reserves of nerves at a great rate, exam days, I was the baby turning into a pig. Keep in step, lest the stars scorn. But when the parade is over, will no one dare say it? After all this marching, all I've learned is to mourn. 13. How shall I ever return to the soft, quiet mornings? My mama hanging her clothes in the long line, all the family's clean, flat forms set side by side, in odd helplessness, like bodies fished from a river. My mama was just everything. Hair so long you could walk on it. She always saw the funny side of everything. She'd have the whole house shaking with laughter when she'd put cabbages in the collars of wet clothes. The laughter would stop when the hangman got home. She gives a sweet whistle to see if he's up. But he hasn't yet crept from between the quilts, in the shadow of stilts where the ghosts drink. "I knew it was you. I heard your whistle." A child is known by his bird calls, leaf rustling. She's waving shyly from the green-bordered window. The Isle of the Mothers bestows a seed called luck. Wrong streets, dead ends, his own measure of complication everywhere he goes. Mornings full of a vague, anxious, sickish sweet drowsiness. Playing possum, he flows back to her, though. In the horizontal, everything seems possible. To think that out of such aisle shadows are loneliness, wound together like bandage and wound, a life independent of life could mature and have its own poltergeists, objects that glow and greet with a sly wink or nod. "Howdy-do. So you've made it through. I knew you would." 14. And now the river's a skating rink. It's fun to make a figure eight on in the winter, but under all that ice, there swirls a terror. "No one goes backward," bellows the father, "for it is the law that all shall go forward, even if forward is forward toward death." If he were to flee from your father, he had to flee the family as well. But you helped. You cast out of your boat all the dead weight, and in this way brought him back to life again. A primal fall, the natives call, Geronimo carried back. He's so remote from you, you scarcely see him. Each sets a specter in the place of the other, standing or bobbing on the watery floor. Oh, a little friendliness now, a little keeping open of his road, blocked for so long and made into a rink. From loss of home, a new home's name, Geronimo's Cadillac. Strange how I, the darkest foe, could never break away. I don't deny it, do I, that you're fond of me? I'm freezing in that fond embrace. Still, though, alas, I flee from every form that even remotely reminds me of you, when all I want most is to soothe and transform by my sheer holding out. Every childish enterprise of mine I place in your hands. Please dignify it with the name of a work. For you know how I long for a smile or a shake of the hand, and if it should come for nothing at all, I should fall in the grass and weep tears of joy, though I know from the start it can never be granted. On the one hand, you tempt me to grow by reproaches. On the other, you forbid it with fear. The hero returned to the Isle of the Mothers.
That is a fairy tale. But this is no fairy tale. You shall never return to the place that you seek.
Still you continue to love me, walled up within love that is nothing but humiliation we learn through sad lessons to bear. Many are the words a mouth cannot speak and manages not to vomit only by dint of not eating anything. 22.
Danger of publicness. I see it. Now the German battleships are taking up position before the green, the undefended coasts.
Charming shyness and reserve seem supernatural now they've been lost in their curative. Boisterous show, public oratory, loud laughter, taking bows. Still, perhaps, at moments, some residue of agony glints through the mesh of cultured conversation or an occasional simple shake of the hand. To think away the grass, the trees, the clouds is normal, it's natural. Strutting down the aisles of desks, imperturbable, not even my silence resembles the real. There's such a thing as being too conscious of too many things. But one is never conscious of a being too conscious until one is conscious of too many things. Sears Roebuck bent over a glowing plant, a shearsman of sorts. The day was red. I said, "You do not see things as they are." The wolf replied, "Things as they are changed within this flower's fire. I burn within the burning bush, and dead awaken to a world newborn." 23. Now the watchfulness of nibbling mice, hungry rats beneath the scampering tiles, and the whisper of snow no human ears hear, will be joined by me these long winter nights. I'll dress up in a white suit as we did the day one of our schoolfellows had died. For home is the refuge of lifeless life, for those whose only adventures are inner. I see my permastilts shine in the moonlight. My body, great wine vault, lying in state under quilts, blazoned with the oblong form of a bare hillside. I pat my haunch. It purrs. Emasculated. Sleep, sleep, sink under covers the waves. Mom would come down shakily at twilight. "Aren't you going with the others?" It's the fair. I was dreaming, Mother, of a flame-petaled plant. We ate its leaves, and suddenly the sea parted within, and we crossed over to a land without comparisons. Out there, within, we were luscious, luminous eggs whose tentacles radiate throughout the universe. But that was a dream, darling. Now you're awake.
If so, I've turned my face to the wall. There's no shape there that I don't know. 24.
It is as if we were never children. It is as if we had never been young. That's how the stars shine during the day. It is as if we had never been warm, close and warm inside the egg. On stilts, one never learns to beg. Naked Alpha, Omega wants you in armor. Dive, little Alpha, into the sun-filled water, brightly leafed and limbed.
But the shell will not crack. So the shaman sat by the dying knight. Whirlwind Chaser was his name. He blew on the old man's eyes and sang.
Look, man, you can see without armor. See it with the hottest fire of sight. See, everything is looking at you. Look deep into the eyes of the animal. Look how they're longing to gaze into you. For aeons they've waited for you to come back, waited to welcome you into their world. This horse you've been riding for centuries, gaze into his night, and he'll bear you backwards and downwards into the mother. And you will feel blessed that you should be given all this to give back to the stars.
25.
Take me back, Geronimo's Cadillac. Go to the Father now, go to the Father. Go this minute, go and lay a hand on his chest, even if it should tear off one of your shoulders.
Thus speaks the mother. And then she bends down and puts her arms around you in a figure eight.
Eight. See, they've suffered. Eight. Nowhere does the circle close. Eight. Oh, you lost home, you unfolding rose. Take me back, Geronimo's Cadillac. Seed center of all sound, your mandaloid eyes, raise my bow of burning gold, my arrows of desire, to stop the world in its drift from the center.
Thus sing the lost tribes. Then they step through thunder into the light world, where men are naked, bird-like, in rapture. For sleep, you know, is our deep foundation, and every plant we're drawn by, you and I, moves us on dark sleds toward our inexhaustible origins, hidden in snowflakes like letters from afar, toward a place alien from the whole world, lost to all men and things, awaiting Ruth O'Lair.
Do I belong to you now or later? For I'm merely the shadow, the dark interior of a luminous creature too big for me.
And it's a slow dance, backwards and downwards into the dead land, a vast land of terrible winds and wonderful emptiness, where the way forward is the way back.